The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, Chernobyl is a new drama about the 1986 nuclear disaster, and it has become a huge success both in ratings and critically. But interest in the Chernobyl power plant has skyrocketed since the miniseries aired, with a lot of tourists now going to this site to pose for what some people consider are disrespectful selfies. Before we speak to a survivor of the Chernobyl disaster, here's a clip from the HBO Sky Atlantic show.
Chernobyl is on fire. And every atom of uranium is like a bullet, penetrating everything in its path. Metal, concrete, flesh. Now Chernobyl holds over 3 trillion of these bullets. Some of them will not stop firing for 50,000 years.
Tell me how to put it out.
You are dealing with something that has never occurred on this planet before.
And that has led to what some people are calling dark tourism. Ryza Carlin, who is a survivor of the Chernobyl nuclear disaster, is with me. Ryza, can you tell me about the early part of your life in Chernobyl?
Hi, Carl. Yeah, absolutely. I was born in Belarus in 93, so a couple of years after the disaster happened. I was born with, as a result of the kind of the radiation and the aftermath, I was born with lots of medical conditions, and unfortunately my parents abandoned me kind of at birth, and so I actually lived 10 years of my childhood in orphanages throughout the capital, Minsk, before I came to Ireland through a charity organisation, A.D. Roach's Chernobyl Children International. And I came over through their programmes and eventually got adopted by a family in need when I was 10 years old.
And when you talk about these medical conditions, you know that they are directly related to the environmental conditions of where you were born. What kind of things have you been affected by?
There would have been, genetically, I guess. So I would have been born with kind of two genetic disorders, so a cleft palate and kind of webbed legs and different kind of issues with my legs. And there would be relating to the radiation, I suppose, because a lot of it would have been kind of blown over Belarus when this happened, as the winds were blowing northwards that night. And so it would be kind of in relation, directly relation to the radiation.
And what was life like in an orphanage in Belarus?
Not very positive, unfortunately. A lot of the memories and experiences I had were quite, a lot of to do with being abandoned, being neglected, not being able to live like a normal child as such, or have a normal childhood. So I would have, pretty much been left to the corner a lot, not being taught how to eat or drink or talk. And, a lot of abuse kind of went on there as well. So, unfortunately, it hasn't been very positive or exciting. So it was very bleak.
Would the abuse have been kind of mental abuse or both mental and physical?
I suppose, it would have been physical abuse, I suppose emotional as such. And then, when I was, when I reached the age of 10, I was actually put into a mental asylum because I had physical disabilities. And because of that, that did start to kind of, impact on me mentally, because when you're surrounded by, in a mental asylum, you start to kind of take over their habits as such. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that was quite draining as well, physically, emotionally and mentally.
And can you tell me about your adoptive parents, Tom and Anne?
I came over when I was 6 or 7, or 5 or 6, I should say. My mother, Anne, my late mother, Anne, she passed away a couple of years ago. She was heavily involved in the organisation at the time, so what about she came over to me through her group. And I kind of went around to stayed with a few families in the Mead region. And then I kind of came to the Carlins, and they kind of took it upon themselves that in order for me to get the treatment I needed, they decided then to adopt me, which it was the adoption was 2 years, and then it went through in late 2002, so nearly 16 years ago.
And how do you think your life would have been without the love of these parents?
Well, I definitely wouldn't be where I am today. And I would go as strong as to say that I probably wouldn't even be alive, to be honest, because, as I said, you know, I was living in neglect conditions, so I wasn't even able to eat properly because of medical conditions I had. So as a result of that, I don't think I would have been able to live or to get the nutrition sort of food to continue my, or the treatment, the medical treatment I needed to give me a better lease of life.
And so I think we've established then, obviously, your background with Chernobyl, how close to the bone it is for you to even see a show about it. So I'll move on now to the idea of this concept of dark tourism. What do you make of that kind of move where people are drawn to see places where terrible things happened? Because I know that in Poland, a huge tourist attraction would be Auschwitz, and Chernobyl, to an extent, is becoming the same. That's not a bad thing in itself, is it?
No, everyone is fascinated with history, and, you know, that's great. And it's great to be able to kind of have places like that you can kind of go and pay respects and visit and understand it. But I suppose, you know, Chernobyl would be somewhat a bit different, because, like the places with Auschwitz, and they're events that happened in the past, and, you know, by going there you can understand the history, such as Belarus and, or Chernobyl, I should say. It's still kind of dangerous to go there. There's still a lot of radiation there. There's still a lot of the area around Chernobyl and the towns near it are also ghost towns. People who were forced to evacuate have not been able to return there for a reason, because it's not safe. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, as great that we have this interest in people and going over, but I think people might be taking it to the kind of an extreme level where they're going over for the purpose of taking selfies for entertainment purposes, because they've seen it on a very popular TV show. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's maybe, you know, disrespectful in a way, because a lot of people died over there, and you're kind of, so to speak, walking on their graves. And, you know, I think in that kind of respect, it's not a positive thing. And I think it's kind of disrespectful to the people over there and to the people who have been properly affected by Chernobyl. Mm-hmm.
And do you think that that people are aware that they're being disrespectful when they do this, or they're just being young and stupid?
I think we're in a day and age now where, you know, everything's kind of based online, and it's all about getting the perfect selfie and perfect picture. And so I think it's, I'm not sure whether they're oblivious to the fact of, you know, what the behavior to be, but I would imagine that, you know, if they went to, like, the likes of Auschwitz, that, you know, they understand what happened there. So I'd imagine that they would carry out a certain, you know, behave in a kind of respectful way. And I don't know if they realize that Chernobyl is nearly the same, goes the same way. So I don't know if they're just being oblivious to it, or if it's coming off the back of a TV show, and they're just trying to get the next big thing, I guess.
And what did you make of the TV show when you were watching it?
I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I thought it was very well done. The truth is being told in a very gripping way. When I was watching it myself, you know, I had 101 emotions kind of going through my head, because I have such a close relationship with it myself. And it's hard for me not to imagine my biological family over there at the time and what they must have been going through and everything. And, you know, it's very chilling. And it just really resonates very much with you and the characters. And it's like you're nearly in it yourself. So I think it's very well done. And I'd really recommend anybody to give it a watch.
Have you ever had a chance to meet your biological family?
I have not, no. Not since I've been adopted in Ireland. But it's a kind of an avenue that I'm actually looking into kind of opening the door up for over the next couple of months or to the next years or so. So I definitely would love to go back over and visit, you know, not just where I lived my childhood, but also to find my biological parents as well.
And just before we finish up, Risa, I saw from your backstory that you play rugby as well, but from a wheelchair.
Yeah, I've been involved in playing wheelchair rugby sevens with the Irish squad for the last couple of years. So, yeah, it's very interesting. It's very different to the wheelchair rugby that is kind of in the Paralympics. It's mm-hmm. this is actually proper rugby union stuff. So anything you see on a rugby pitch is basically the exact same way, just you're doing it in a wheelchair and you're doing it over a course, so you're three lengths of a basketball course as opposed to on a grass surface.
And that's Riza Carolyn. Thanks again for speaking to us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.